This is the Broski and Moussan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Tonight with Joe Biden making his, what is not a State of the Union speech, but kind of like a State of the Union speech.
Too early, I guess, to be a State of the Union speech.
Yeah, I don't know why a new president can't do a State of the Union speech. The Union still has a state, even if the president is new. So
right,
we are in some kind of state
it
here.
It is an address to a joint session of Congress.
Yeah, with limited capacity because of social distancing. You're only going to have a couple of hundred people there, and a lot of Republicans say they don't even want to go anyway.
Okay, right? Well then, extra seats for Democrats. Yeah. I don't know.
Normally you have 535 with the Senate and the Congress. They're going to have a couple of hundred. And everybody in a mask. They do say Joe Biden will take his mask off when he speaks, however, which is glad to hear that.
Where right? will Nancy and Kamala be sitting?
They'll be behind him.
Wait. You know, are right? they? Wait. 6 feet, though, John.
Yeah, they'll probably have their masks on.
Oh, so he'll be safe then. Aren't they all vaccinated?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, ridiculousness.
You know, but still indoors with a lot of people, Christina, this is not totally safe. So we're going to get into the new CDC guidelines. Because yesterday, as we were going off the air, we were watching Joe Biden walk up to the podium outdoors,
with a mask on,
alone with his mask on, to announce that he didn't really need to do that.
Hold on. Right? Can I just, I'm going to try my attempt at a joke here. What's he going to do? Suck all the air out of the room? Ha, ha, ha. Okay. Sorry.
So he's going to make some big announcements tonight. You know, we're spending a lot of money in this country. A lot of money we don't have. We're just basically printing it.
We're printing money.
And we're going to get into what we talked about in our promo with Blake, this modern monetary theory about why this is okay. Because a lot of us are concerned about the debt.
Uh-huh.
And modern monetary theory is very simple.
It's not, yeah.
So don't be turned off if you're not an economist.
Even I understand it.
Yeah, anybody who buys a house can understand this, right? And even if you don't buy a house, you can understand it. But
basically, what? Spend money and pay what?
And just be able to service your debt, which is pay off the interest.
The interest.
Right? I guess that in a nutshell is modern monetary theory when it comes to this spending. Because right now we have, you know, let's call our debt $30 trillion. I think we're pretty close to $30 trillion, even before we get into some of these plans that Joe Biden wants to do. And, you know, I think our official interest rate is about 1% or close to zero maybe. So let's call it 1%. 1% of $30 trillion is $300 billion. So this is actually in the federal budget, you know, the interest on the debt. So as long as the interest rate remains low, we can service the debt. We're not paying off, you know, the principal, but we're paying off the interest on the debt. And that's modern monetary theory. If you can do that, you're okay. So as long as interest rates remain low, according to this theory, we're okay. Now, the problem is with all this spending, what happens to interest rates? What if they go up to 5%? Then that $300 billion becomes $1.5 trillion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that might then be a concern, because then can you service the debt at those interest rates? And we're kind of in uncharted waters here, in my opinion, so I don't know where that's going to go. It would be like buying a house and only paying the interest on your loan and saying that was okay, that you'd always have the principal yet to pay off.
Right? It'd be nice if the bank said that that was okay, too. Yeah.
Unfortunately, they don't. When you pay off your house, you have to pay the interest and some piece of the principal every month.
You know, this is, though, what this makes me think of is like, this is kind of the way that we are living our lives right now. What President Biden is doing, Democrats are doing, and you know what? Even President Trump did this, adding to the national debt. We are buying things that we can't afford because we want them. Not necessarily because we need them.
You're talking about just individual
just
people.
Just individually as people, even though as a nation in this respect too, we're spending money just because we want to spend money. Instead of looking at the budget that we have and saying, where can we get this money from, right? Let's rebudget. Let's look at this. We're just spending, printing money. We're just spending money that we don't have. We do this in our own lives. No, I want that new iPhone. I'm just going to go get it. No regard to, can I afford it? Is it something that I need? It's a want. It's not a need. You know, we just, we have become a society, John, that does not look at what we can afford and live within our means. It's that's a concept that we just don't grasp, I guess, anymore.
Well, a lot of people get in trouble because all they can do is service their debt, right? All they can do is pay off the interest on their credit card debt, which if you do that, the credit card companies love you because you keep owing them.
Right.
Because
you just keep paying the minimum every month. But you keep owing them.
Many of us have free credit cards, and sometimes you get a lot of extra, you know, stuff with your credit card, and you pay it off, and you never have to pay that penalty on the interest because you pay it off every month. The credit card companies don't like you much, but they make their business with the people who can't do that.
Correct. Right?
And I want to thank all of you who are doing that because I've got a nice credit card with a lot of bennies. And I just pay it every month and I don't get penalized. And so it's free. And not only free, but I get stuff.
Great. Good for you.
But if you don't kind of watch your money and you get in debt and all you can afford to do is pay off the interest on your debt, then you're kind of stuck for a long time in a bad place.
Credit card debt is high in this country. We also have, you know, the majority of people are living month to month. Retirement savings is a non-existent thing. These are all scary things that we don't think about and because we're trying to survive. But if you look at, you know, what am I spending money on that I don't need to be spending money on to be able to pay down this debt, to be able to pay off that credit card, pay the mortgage on my home, save for retirement. There are things in your life that you're spending money on that you don't necessarily have to be spending money on. They're a want, not a need. And that's the same thing here. You know, in our promo, I said, you know, tonight the president is going to unveil the American Families Plan. $1.8 trillion added to the debt. This comes on the heels of the American Jobs Plan, $2.2 trillion, right? That's $4 trillion right there. We've already spent $1.9 trillion on the American Rescue Plan. That's a stimulus package. Altogether, this is around $6 trillion added in the first 100 days of his presidency. $6 trillion in the first 100 days. No big deal. We'll just pay the interest. But this is a big deal. It will be a big deal one day.
Yeah, but again, you know, the way they look at it is, you know, it sounds complex, modern monetary theory, which is complex, but this piece of modern monetary theory about the debt just says, okay, I'm adding $6 trillion. So let's say we're at $28 trillion, and we're going to add $6, going to put us to $34. So instead of paying $280 billion off every year in interest, we'll pay $340 billion off every year. So I just don't think that's a big deal. Okay, so we can spend another $6 trillion. It only adds $60 billion
right
to the amount we have to put in the budget. Now, whether that's a good theory or not, I'm not really an economist. It sounds a little scary to me to just think like you can just keep spending. Because really, the interest rate is the bugaboo here. If that interest rate goes up even 1 point, that doubles. If it goes up to 3% or 4%, it triples or quadruples. And pretty soon, you've got over $1 trillion that you've got a budget every year to pay off and service your debt. So, but I think it, you know, it's a good point you make that we all kind of live this way. You know, when people buy a house, they go into debt. You know, they don't have the money to buy the house. Most people don't just write a check for the house.
Right.
You have a monthly payment. But the plan also includes paying off the principal. Someday that debt will be paid. With our national debt, there is no future date where this is going to be paid off. And same way, we buy cars this way too. So, you know, you base everything on how much money you make a month now. So I make this much a month. How much can I afford on a house? How much can I afford on a car? These are monthly payments that go on for years, right? And that's kind of how everybody looks at it. You know, I don't care how much the car is. How much is it a month? I don't care how much the house is. How much is it a month? Because I know how much I make a month. I know how much I can spend a month. And I think that's kind of how people operate, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so I don't care if my house is $1 million. How much is it a month?
Right.
I don't care if my house is $300,000. How much is it a month? It's only $1,000 a month. Well, I get a better house, right? So, but anyway, Joe Biden's going to speak tonight. He's going to talk about a lot of stuff, including this. you know, American Families Plan, which is also going to have this little part of it, which is 2.2
$200 billion.
Yeah, $200 billion for the preschool.
Just for the preschool component of this.
Yeah. So what do you think of this preschool? Didn't we already pass in California free junior college? That's just California, right?
Right.
They've done that. Joe Biden likes that too, though, right?
Yes.
He likes free everything, free university, free college. Right?
Correct.
So what do you think of this free preschool? Because I was thinking this in terms of the pandemic, how children have been damaged. Do we need to reinvest in kids? Is that a good idea?
Well, this is something that, you know, I was thinking back to this. This is something actually President Trump talked about. Things that you want to hear, John, from this speech could be in presenting this. President Trump and I agree on something. Because Ivanka Trump was a big proponent of this. Preschool for kids. Guaranteed preschool for kids. In the state of California, we have transitional kindergarten, which is guaranteed for children. We have aspects of preschool for kids as well. It is not a complete universal program like this. This would be a high quality preschool, he says, universal, high quality preschool for 3 and 4 year old children. When I heard this, I thought to myself, I am not the free one. I know this.
You have to qualify.
You've got to qualify, somehow. Right? I am not the free one. I am the one whose preschool tuition will go up to pay for everyone else's free kids, because that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, somebody's got to pay.
In life, somebody's got to pay, and it's going to be me.
Yeah, either and all of us to some extent through taxes. Probably.
And I already pay a lot for preschool. Yeah. I don't know that I can afford to pay more.
All righty, got to take a break here. But what do you think about this free preschool for everybody? 490-5858. Is that a good idea? Especially, I'm thinking about coming out of the pandemic, Christina. We have damaged children so much, but it's not really these preschool kids. It's the other kids that were like in elementary school or high school that are really being set back. So, but do we need to invest more in our kids, particularly now? Is that a good idea?
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
John, let me ask you, right now we do K through 12 free in this country. We are 40 in California, we are 48th in the nation. And I think in the world, we're among the bottom as well. We're not among the best. In California, we also have what I call 13th and 14th grade, which is City College, free. And now President Biden wants to make pre-K and three-year-olds free as well. We do have, for instance, the Fresno County Office of Education does have a preschool. That is a wonderful preschool put on by the Fresno County Office of Education. You said, now during COVID, you know, we have all these kids impacted by COVID. During COVID, that preschool closed down. Mm. When public schools closed and the Fresno County Office of Education closed, that school closed. I have friends that send their kids there. They were left in limbo. Well, my kids, who I pay for to go to preschool, their school stayed open. Because why? So, well, A, they were allowed, and B, that's the only way that they could, I mean, you go under if you don't. The only way that you could close up is if you were government run. So just because, you know, you're a preschool and you think like daycares are allowed to be open, the government run preschool is closed, which left everybody in limbo. And Elizabeth Warren said yesterday, and Jen Psaki said in a podcast yesterday as well, you know, we want to find ways for women to get back to work. Well, if the kids can't go to school, somebody in the home has to stay home. Right?
Yeah.
That's just kind of the way that it goes. 490-5858, 490-5858. Tom, you're on KMJ.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
Yeah, we're
here. You're
on the air. We're here.
Oh, okay. Hey, I'm all for that preschool for all, but only if it's for all, and I like to see it put in regular school, not, well, also private, but I'd like to see it put in regular school. And since we're like you said, third world countries are doing a lot better than we are as far as our kids go, I'd also like to see for those damaged kids, I like to go to about an 8-hour day for kids, longer time, with maybe some aides being hired with this kind of money. All this time, you know, for every president, it seems like the budget goes up. And what do we get for it? I'm hoping we get something out of this thing, something solid where our kids do get educated better, you know. So that was my comment.
Yeah. You know, the problem is, it's like people think if we just put money into this, we'll solve the problem. But, you know, California puts a lot of money into education. Like you say, Christina, we're 48th.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm looking at around the world, right? Around the world, I guess we're 38th. So, you know, we don't rank very high. Those aren't scores that I think are great.
You know, when I think about this, I think about the 50s. Remember the TV shows of the 50s, Ozzie and Harriet, Father Knows Best, Leave It to Beaver. These were all stay-at-home moms, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And that's kind of the image we have of the 50s is dads worked, mom stayed at home.
Yes.
Although all my teachers in elementary school were women, so not all women were at home.
Sure.
You know, but it seems like we had kind of a one-income family back in the 50s, and somehow along the way we evolved into you need two incomes to make it these days.
Life got expensive.
Yeah. So now we have two incomes and nobody's at home. And when you have these young kids in particular, it's difficult to go work. So do we as a society kind of need to figure that out so that, you know how it is, Christina, you price this out. You've got to kind of balance this. How much does it cost me for my kid to go somewhere, get a babysitter or school or whatever, versus me working? And for a lot of people, it just doesn't pencil out to work. You know, they just figure, I'll just stay home because I don't make enough to pay off whoever's got to take care of my kid. So is this a society problem that needs to be figured out?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's a good question. It says here that this will save the average family $13,000 a year.
That's huge.
That's a big deal. Yeah. Benefit 5 million children. 5 million children to me isn't a lot, to be honest, but I don't know if that number is high or low. I'm not really sure here. $13,000 a year sounds about right.
Yeah. Well, like you say, this is a redistribution plan, okay? Because like you say, not everybody is probably going to get this for nothing. There's going to be some kind of qualification about income. And if you're above that level, it's not going to be free for you and you're going to end up paying. And of course, when the government's paying a lot, like it does with tuition and college for grants, even though we say we don't have free college, in a lot of ways we do. There's already a lot of people get into college for nothing, right? There's grants,
yes.
Whatever.
Yes.
And so we know a lot of these kids already go for nothing. And that's very simply why these tuitions have gone up, because there's no objection.
Right.
Nobody cares. So the same thing's going to happen with preschool. If it's free for a lot of people and the government's paying, those tuitions are going to go up. And like you say, Christina, who's going to end up paying that?
People
like you, right?
Me.
So, and all of us to some degree, although Joe Biden says if you make under 400 grand, your taxes aren't going to go up. But this is going to go up in some way, shape, or form for somebody. Somebody's got to pay for it. And I don't know how long we can keep milking the rich. You know, how long can that go on?
Right, before they leave?
Well, whatever
they go somewhere
do.
Else.
Well, I mean,
well, that's the thing is they're rich. They can go live anywhere they want.
Yeah.
So right?
But will they leave this country because of something like this?
I think that if it gets not, I don't know about over this, it's incrementalism, right? And there's a number.
Yeah.
There's a number where it gets to be too much. I mean, this is going to put them into the 39% tax bracket. That's a lot.
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Talking about the fact that Joe Biden's going to address joint session of Congress tonight. They don't call it a State of the Union because it's his first term, and it wouldn't be the state of his union, I guess. He's going to unveil these spending plans, but we're also kind of thinking about what we'd like to hear Joe Biden say tonight. You know, at the inauguration speech, he talked a lot about unity.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I haven't felt a lot of unification. Have you?
No.
Has he done anything to unify this country?
No.
Even one thing?
No.
You know, they passed that COVID relief plan, which is about $2 trillion,
mm-hmm.
and didn't get any Republican support. Then he, because it didn't have a lot of COVID relief in it, it was a lot of other stuff.
Right.
Then he brought up the infrastructure plan, and which had not a lot of infrastructure in it. I'll be generous and call it 20% infrastructure, 80% other stuff. But of course, they redefined infrastructure as this kind of stuff, like universal pre-K, right?
Right.
That's infrastructure. They pretty much call anything infrastructure, but in terms of what we think of infrastructure, like roads and bridges and airports and things, there was not very much. So he hasn't done anything to really, you know, he came in as a great unifier, the guy that reaches across the aisle, can work with the other side, but it doesn't seem like he's even really tried. He's put things on the table that the other side can't agree to. They just can't. And then he blames them for not joining in and helping. Because they kind of put it as, we can't get the Republicans to give you your stimulus money. You know, they could have got that. They could have got the unemployment with Republicans. It's all the other stuff.
Right.
But that's not how they talk about it. So he hasn't been much of a unifier. So you think he'll talk much about unity tonight, or was that speech done?
Oh, no, I think he will talk about unity when it comes to, like, this universal preschool thing, right? We need to come together for stuff that he wants. We need to unify.
Yeah, it's like,
right?
I need you to
There's
unify
no
with
me.
There's
no me coming to you. You come to me.
Well, what happened to reaching across the aisle? You know?
Yeah. You come to me. I'm going to reach across the aisle. Come to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's his feet aren't moving. His arm sticks out. You know, I'm reaching, John. Now you come to me. Let me pull you over here.
Yeah, I guess that's what he means by unifying, is that you need to agree with me, and then we're unified.
Yes.
If you don't agree, then you're obstructionist.
Unify
you're
with my message,
right?
But I'm not going to, like, come work with you.
Here's something he could do tonight. I don't expect him to do it, but he could give Trump a compliment about Operation Warp Speed, and thankfully we got that going, and we got the vaccine, which is the reason the country is starting to open up again. But he's never done that, and I guess I don't expect to hear it tonight, but it would be kind of an olive branch to the other side. But if you're a Democrat, I think the rule is you can never say anything nice about Trump, ever.
Well, and I kind of wonder, you know, they think that President Trump, though, needs to tell those 50% of Republicans that don't want the vaccine to get the vaccine, because if he does, then they'll do what he says, right?
Yeah.
Right?
That's what they think.
But paying the president a compliment wouldn't do any good, huh?
Yeah.
With people. I think that if President Biden were to pay President Trump a compliment on the vaccine, people would appreciate that. That'd be a nice gesture.
Yeah, and I don't think it's that hard, but do you expect him to do it?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, I don't either. But I just think he could say, look, one of the biggest things that needed to happen for us to get this under control was getting a vaccine. So I want to thank the former, he didn't have to say his name. I want to thank the former president for his Operation Warp Speed. When he handed us the ball, there wasn't much of a plan to distribute it, which there was, obviously. We were already doing 1 million a day. But he would probably say something like that. And then he could take credit for the distribution and implementing the plan. But at least he'd have a little tiny olive branch to reach out to the other side.
Yep.
But I don't expect that to happen. But he's obviously going to address the pandemic and how that's played into things. Because to me, here's the way I see it, Christina, is we are teed up to explode economically. We don't need this other spending to do that. You know, the stimulus plan he just did, that was too trim. That's enough. I'm not even sure we needed that. We are teed up to explode economically because of the vaccine. We're going to open up and this economy is going to go bonkers. But I think he feels like the more I spend, the more credit I'll get. You know,
right.
It was going to happen anyway. I'd like somebody to explain to me, if they think it wasn't going to happen, why it wasn't going to. If we're going to open up, The one thing they did that's going to keep it from happening is unemployment benefits through September. People can't get anybody to work. You know, they should have just left that alone. No more unemployment. People get back to work. But now, you know, so what they did, they hurt the chances of the economy exploding. But it's still going to happen, I think, right?
I think you're right. Yeah. Yes.
So he's going to talk about the pandemic, and I don't expect him to compliment Donald Trump. I think he'll also talk about police. What do you think he's going to say about police tonight?
Nothing.
Oh, he's going to say something. Oh, he's going to say a lot about police and how we need to reform the police and how we need to. But it would be nice if he said something nice about police. Is that hard to do?
You know, they say it's harder to give a compliment than it is to give an insult. That's where I think, you know, if I'm writing this speech and I'm the speech writer, that'd be the thing I'd be thinking about. We always remember the bad. The good is always hard to remember. And I don't know why that is. As humans, we are like this. And it's harder to give a compliment than it is an insult. So I don't think that there will be nice things.
Here's how he could do it. Again, I don't expect him to do it, but he could say this. I think the police are vastly good people. The vast majority of police are good people, but we have too many of these racial incidents, and we've got to address it. I mean, would that be too much to expect? That he could at least admit that most police are good people and
well, he has
racist?
Said that before. Has said most police, and then he contradicts himself.
Yeah, exactly.
So there will be that's what's going to be going on tonight, right? If he gives any kind of compliment, he'll contradict himself to try and appease everybody. Yeah, let's keep going here because I'm not hopeful in the slightest.
But again, you know, these things, talking about the pandemic, thanking the previous administration
right.
for their work, talking about the
unifying
police,
message.
Yeah, unifying
police.
Message that we all can agree on. Most people in this country like the police, despite all this anti-police rhetoric. Seems like the more anti-police rhetoric there is, the more the police numbers go up. People like the police. They don't want to get rid of the police anywhere. We need them. And you see all this crime breaking out all over the place with all this stuff going on? This is what we talked about yesterday. This whole issue of crime needs to be addressed. I don't expect that to be addressed tonight in the speech. Another thing I think we'll hear about is guns. We're going to hear about common sense gun laws, don't you think?
Right.
I mean, we're going to hear that phrase, common sense gun laws,
which
the devil's in the details.
Well, which are the common sense gun laws he's talking about are already in these states where gun violence is happening.
Yeah.
So the ones that he wants are already implemented in places like Colorado, California, Texas.
It'd be nice if he said something like that. You know, a lot of these gun laws we have all over the place. What we need to do is start enforcing them. I'd like to hear him say that.
Right.
But that's not what he's going to say.
That's not what he's going to say.
We need more laws. And we don't even enforce half of them we have now.
Do you think he's going to talk about menthol cigarettes?
Well, didn't he talk about that yesterday?
Did he talk about that yesterday?
Well, who was talking about the menthol cigarettes? Somebody was. Was that him?
Yeah, I got an alert to my phone here that he's going to ban menthol cigarettes.
The story I saw was that a lot of African-American people like menthol cigarettes.
Wait, and isn't that racist then?
From me or from him?
From him.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, he's stating what I think he believes is a fact. I don't know if African-American people like menthol cigarettes, but that's what it said in the story.
Got it.
And they're not healthy, and so he wants to ban them so they can't smoke them. So that seems a little weird.
It's kind of like people from themselves.
It's kind of like the 32-ounce Coke stuff in New York when they banned the big Cokes.
Right.
Because people keep buying them.
Right.
Not realize you could just buy 2 16s, I guess, you know, which is what people did. But he thought, people are fat and they're buying big Cokes and we got to ban it. That's how they figure, right? Now, I don't know if he'll get into this or not, but he might. These racist voting laws in Georgia and other states. Think he'll go there? Because they want to pass this national voting rights law. Mm. Think he's going to put any heat on that?
Maybe. And he'll make the claims that he's made before to, you know, fuel that. That's not a unifying message either.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm going to listen tonight. It's going to be on KMJ, 6 o'clock. Give me this, plus or minus an hour.
Well, okay, that's what's going to be my next question for you, because I have been timing about what he can sustain himself for. It's somewhere between 3 and 5 minutes. About the 3 or 5 minute mark, he then begins to slow down and kind of slur his words. So it's definitely going to be longer than 3 or 5 minutes, no doubt in my mind. How much plus or minus under an hour or over? What do you think? I'd say 45 minutes probably would be okay.
I think, you know, that's exactly what I was thinking. I think if I were him, I would be shooting for 45, because if you went 30, a lot of people would say it's not long enough. If you go an hour, everybody thinks that's long enough.
Yeah.
But you can get away with 45.
Yes.
But again, I think that's a long, 45 is a long speech for him. And if he goes over 45, like you say, he just seems to run out of gas.
You know, with President Obama, John, you and I could sit here and we could say, like, the delivery is really good. Right. We could pay
throughout.
Yeah, we could pay President Obama's. We didn't like the content, but man, could that guy deliver a speech?
Yeah, he could.
I really, really can. Just yes. We are going to be saying that probably about President Biden tomorrow. I think that finding the silver lining in this speech might be a little difficult. I'm going to be looking for some, though, because I'm going to try and unify people, John. I have a message of unity tomorrow.
Vicki, you've been hanging on.
Yeah,
thank
thanks,
you. Vicki. You're on KMJ.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling about the education payment free stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. There's no such thing as a free lunch.
Oh, come on.
Somebody's going to pay for it.
Well, how do they get this stuff passed if that's true? Because people seem to think it's really free.
Wait a second.
Okay.
If a government pays, then they can tell you what to teach and how to teach it. In the middle of all that is the critical race theory and the 1619 Project, which is trying to rewrite history. If you take money from the government, they can tell you what to teach and how to teach it, all the way down to preschool.
Well, you know, but you can also fight it. I've seen districts fight this critical race theory and win. But people have to pay attention.
I don't know if they'll be getting any money from the government if they don't comply with what the government tells them to do.
Well, I guess this critical race theory somehow must be something you can agree to, because not everybody's doing it. Some people are doing it. Some people are not. I haven't heard anybody losing their money yet. But you bring up a good point, because a lot of times there are strings attached. But I've seen school districts fight this.
Yeah, Idaho is right now.
Are they? Yeah.
The state of Idaho is doing this, yes.
Because education is mainly a state thing, but there are federal funds out there. We know there are volumes on federal regulations of education, volumes of rules. That's why they have all these administrators trying to figure it out.
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
President and his address to the joint session of Congress tonight at 6 p.m. I'm going to guess he's going to wear a mask to the podium, John.
Yeah, he is, because
it's indoors at least.
Well, he's got to come down, you know, through the chamber. You know how they walk down.
Do you think he's going to touch? People are going to reach out to shake his hand?
I'm not sure.
I think there'll be plastic panels along the sides.
Everybody in the chamber will be wearing masks. So I assume when he comes in, he'll wear his mask as he's walking through the chamber. Will they touch? Maybe the little fist bump?
Maybe.
You know, but I think he will. They say he will take off his mask when he speaks.
That's good to hear, because yesterday he was outside and he walked to the podium with his mask on outside, and he is vaccinated to announce that when you're outside and not in large crowds of people, you don't have to wear a mask.
Yeah.
Anybody see some irony in that?
Well, it's hard. I keep thinking, you know, Joe Biden seems to be obsessed, and maybe his whole administration, and maybe this is very, very much talked about.
I think so.
They are obsessed with signaling the right thing, okay? Now, when we left the air yesterday is when we went to this speech by the president, right? So we were watching him on TV in here as he was walking out with his mask on. We already knew what the announcement was going to be, because they told us what the announcement was. I don't even know why they do that. Joe Biden's going to come out and announce that you don't have to wear a mask outside. And then he comes out and announces you don't have to wear a mask outside, although it had all kinds of sidebars to this announcement, which we'll get into. But it is confusing, I think, to people when you tell them to get vaccinated, and he's fully vaccinated, has been for a long time. He's walking outside with nobody around him with his mask on. And a lot of people think that this is a confusing signal to people because it signals, even if you're vaccinated,
you have to wear,
even when there's nobody around.
It's not safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was asked about it
right.
by a reporter. And he said,
well, I'll get in trouble if I continue to answer questions.
Well, he said that too, but he also said, the reporter said, what kind of message are you sending? He said, by watching me take it off and not put it back on until I get inside. So he's like, because, okay, I wore it out, but then I took it off and I'm going to leave it. So I don't know. It's even his answer is confusing. But I think I wish they would get off this. We have to send the right signals every time, no matter what thing. Right?
I feel like for some people, John, ever known someone that wears their sunglasses inside?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're hiding something. You know it. Like, why are you wearing your sunglasses inside? You know, it's because you're hiding something. Yeah. And I think that for some people, this mask thing is like the sunglasses indoors.
But don't you think Joe Biden it's different for him? This is his...
I think it's a crutch now.
Do you?
I do. I think that this is... it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks, but this dog learned a trick and he's not letting go of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the other day he was on a Zoom call with a mask on, although I guess he took it off, put it back on. There was a report that he was the only one, but I guess there were people that had him on. And they said there was other people in the room with him. But can't you, if I'm on a Zoom call and there's other people in the room, I say, stand back because I'm going to take my mask off for the Zoom call.
This is the Broski and Moussan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
We want to talk about these CDC guidelines. We were talking about Joe Biden coming out to the podium yesterday outside with nobody around him to announce that you don't have to wear a mask outside with a mask on. And I think they are obsessed with this signaling stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I just ask you, Christina, like when you see that, what message do you get?
Oh, the mask on?
Yeah. What message do you get?
It's not safe.
Yeah.
That's the message I got.
I'm vaccinated. It's outside. There's nobody around and I've still got a mask on.
Yeah.
So the message I get, although I have been vaccinated, is why should I get vaccinated?
Well, nothing changes.
It's not going to stop me, whatever Biden does.
Nothing's changed is the message, yeah. right, that it sends to people yeah. is nothing's changed.
But I guess he was asked about it and he kind of said, I think if I interpret what he said, because what he said was by watching me take it off and not put it back on until I get inside,
mm-hmm.
I think what he was saying was I was trying to make the announcement and then take it off.
Right.
And walk
like
back
make
inside.
It he wanted a moment.
Yeah.
He was trying to make a moment, and I think is what he was saying. It looked a bit ridiculous. Yeah. It would have been better to take the mask off, walk out without a mask on, and be like, hey, yeah. guess what? This yeah. is a safe thing to do now if you're vaccinated.
Yeah, he could have come out to the party and yeah. said, you may have noticed I'm not wearing a mask.
It's somebody's genius idea to do that, by the way, and it backfired.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, like I say, I think they're obsessed with signaling. They want to signal that you still need to wear masks in some situations. And then they announce that you don't have to wear them outside except. And there's, I've got like a couple of pages of the rules.
Yes. And your point is?
I don't know. Like I said, I'm not a doctor. Nobody should follow my advice. But I think I think their message should be if you're vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask. Now, but they should qualify it because we know some people, even though vaccinated, do get infected. It does happen.
Yes, it does happen.
In very tiny numbers, but it does happen. So I think they should say that. They say, look, you're pretty much good to go if you're vaccinated, and you need to do whatever you think you need to do to be safe.
Yes.
Because you still can get it. So if you've got comorbidities, if you're worried about this, if you're old... do what you need to do. And of course, many businesses will still require you to wear more mask inside. But for the most part, if you're vaccinated, you don't need a mask. But you do need to know you can still get infected. So if you're worried about it, but I think the overall message to me, Christina, should be if you're vaccinated, go. Live life.
I was just going to say, it needs to be a very simple message. No, but, ands. You're vaccinated. Do what you feel comfortable doing.
Yeah.
is basically, if you want to wear a mask outside or inside and you're vaccinated, you go for it. And if you don't, go for it. Right? You've done your part. You're vaccinated. It's your, now you did your patriotic duty. Isn't that what they're saying?
Yeah.
You've done your patriotic duty. Now do what you feel comfortable doing at this point in time. If you're around unvaccinated people and you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. I think that people, for the most part, know all of these caveats, and they've already been doing these things. You know, this announcement made yesterday, right? Fully vaccinated individuals can engage in the following activities without wearing masks: walking, running, hiking, or biking outdoors alone or with members of their household. If you were wearing a mask outdoors with members of your household, you need to go seek counseling. I'm serious. Your members of your household, safe or unsafe, you're stuck with them. And what are you doing? Wearing a mask at night while you sleep? Come on. This is stupid.
Yeah, well,
right? I mean, if you weren't already, that's why I asked in the bus question the way the bus question was today. Yeah, are these things that you've already been doing? I'm going to guess the answer is overwhelmingly yes.
Well, here's another qualifier. Attending small outdoor gatherings with fully vaccinated family and friends. Now, why would it matter if you're vaccinated? I think they are worried about this tiny percent of people who still get it. And they're worried about that spreading because...
Well, there are variants.
Yeah.
And some of these vaccines are more protective against certain variants than other variants, right? And so if you're around somebody that's unvaccinated, there is a slight... I mean, it's 95% protective if you've got Pfizer or Moderna, right? So you've got a 5% shot, and it happens. And the beauty of it is that, thank God for these vaccines, in my opinion. If you do get COVID, you're not going to end up in the hospital, most likely. So thank God for that. I mean, but you don't hear these kinds of messages.
Well, the thing is, about the 95% protection, that's even confusing.
It is.
Because it sounds like you said, like you have a 5% chance of getting, but I don't think it's even that.
No.
Because if the CDC reported that out of 66 million people who were vaccinated,
yeah,
just 5,800 got the, yes, virus, that's less than 1 in 10,000. That's a lot less than 5%.
There is an asterisk to that. And the asterisk to that is that's been reported.
Okay.
Right? Because they want you to think that it's more,
yeah,
than that. But well, you're right. Very, very small percentage.
Yeah. But they're aware of this vaccine hesitancy, and they're trying to figure out a way to deal with this. And I think that's what's kind of pushing them even to make this announcement about stuff we're already all doing, right?
They're trying to figure out about this vaccine. John, everybody's been telling them what they need to say to get them to get the vaccine, that I can take my mask off. And they're still looking. They're still searching on what's going to stop the vaccine hesitancy. People are screaming and yelling at them what they want, and they're not listening.
But that's what I'm trying to figure out. Why aren't they listening?
Stupid.
Why won't they just say, look, if you're vaccinated, you're good to go, but we need to tell you this. It is still possible, very small, slim possibility, that you could still get infected. You just need to know that. But for the most part, you're good to go.
I disagree. So, right? I disagree. You don't need the but. People understand. People know. They are smart. You're good to go. If you get the vaccine, you're good to go. And I know that after a year, that's really hard to believe. We've been going through this for a year. I've talked about my trauma on the air. It's hard for me to think that I can be around other people, John, without wearing a mask. That is a concept my brain is having a really hard time with these days. But that is the truth. I am sorry. The likelihood of me, a fully vaccinated person, getting COVID again, well, it can happen, is very, very minuscule. So if you want to wear a mask indoors because you feel more comfortable doing that, you want to wear a mask outside in large groups of people because that makes you feel better, you go for it. But you know what? You're good to go, babe. That's what I'd be telling people. Yeah, well, that's what people want to hear.
You know, sometimes we like have our contest, right? And we tell people how to play the contest, and we say for more details, go to our website.
There you go.
Right?
For more details.
So they could say that. Look at, if you're vaccinated, you're okay. Go live your life. For more details, go to our CDC website.
Well, it's just, this is the thing that just, I bang my head against the wall. They're trying to figure out what vaccine hesitancy and how to get people to get this vaccine. And yet people are telling them exactly what they want to hear, and they can't deliver that message. And still yesterday in this message of that you can take the mask outdoors, right? Which people have already been doing. It would have been better to at least have said is still got to wear your mask inside. Outside, you're good to go.
Yeah.
That's it.
But
right?
But if you're vaccinated, why do you even need it inside?
I don't have a good answer for that. I really don't.
I know.
I just don't. As I said, it's hard for me to take the mask off now and to be around other people. It's like this, there's something wrong. You know, like I got to get over it. I've got to get over it. It's going to take another year probably.
490-5858. Todd, you're on KMJ.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I think if people actually looked at the percentages, they would understand that this is not as dangerous as we're putting it out there. It is for certain groups. And, I mean, if you look at it, the hospitalization rate of somebody that gets COVID is about 1% to 5%. If you look at the fatality rate for cases in Fresno to people that had COVID, it's like 0.00015. And we are blowing this thing up and fearing. I still see people in cars by themselves wearing masks. This has been blown way out of proportion. Is it fatal to some people? Yes. 78% of the deaths in the United States have been obese people. We don't get told that, though. And this is why we're in the position that we're in, to create everybody. A fit person does not have to worry about COVID like a person that has multiple issues already. And we are at a ridiculous state. They can't even be straight on the vaccination.
So why do you think that is?
Still get it?
Why do you think?
Because they want everybody to get it. They want everyone to get it. I don't have to take a flu shot. I never did take a flu shot because I didn't suffer from the flu very often. I think I've gotten it one time in 7 years.
Well, why do they want everybody to get it?
Because they're giving us the false sense of security that's the save all. The whole country, or actually the whole world, is doing this.
Well, I mean, but as the vaccines have gone out, everything has gone down. So it looks like it's working, isn't it?
Let me ask this question. Did you get your measles shot?
Has time done that too, though? Pardon me?
Have you received a measles shot?
I'm sorry.
Hepatitis, measles.
I guess I had to when I was a child.
Sure.
I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm not an anti-vaxxer at all. But if somebody told you that the fatality rate is 0.00015, you do other things in life that probably have a higher death rate.
However, if somebody told you that the after effects of COVID could cause long-lasting effects to your colon, your bowel system, your kidneys, your liver, and other systems of your body, would that encourage you to get it?
Probably not.
You wouldn't die, but the after effects are going to be long-lasting.
So let me ask you this question. Is the vaccine FDA approved or is it in testing
yet? Not yet.
Right
and
now?
You know what? I get that argument and I understand that argument. Totally. Totally get it.
I don't want to hear we were wrong 5 years from now because they scared the crap out of us to begin with.
Well, here's my thing. This is the way I look at it. Okay. As somebody that had COVID and is now dealing with the after effects of COVID and myself and my children, right? To me, this is like was a no-brainer. I would wish that upon nobody. And, you know, 5 years down the road, I don't know what's going to happen to me 5 years down the road from COVID. It is not a flu. I know that's the SARS-CoV-2, whatever. I got to tell you, this is not the flu. You recover from the flu. People with COVID are finding out stuff about themselves that they can't come back from. I don't wish this thing upon my worst enemy, John, I got to say. I would encourage people to go get the vaccine. I understand if you don't want to. I'm not going to force you to. Everybody has a right to. But for those of you out there that have not had COVID, or if you had COVID and you had asymptomatic about it and it wasn't a big deal to you, I would not wish what my family is currently going through on anybody. The after effects are terrible, and it's in my children. So I just, to me, if I could avoid getting this sucker, I would. You can wait till it's FDA approved. I totally get that argument, and I'm not going to argue against that. But I really wouldn't wish it upon anybody.
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
I think most of us figured out if you're outdoors, you know.
What's the wind going to do, like blow it in your face?
I mean, we found out a long time ago the chances of getting it outdoors. That's why they allowed people to eat outdoors in restaurants who weren't vaccinated.
Right.
Right?
So I've been freezing my butt off for the last year.
So if you were eating outdoors, I was eating outdoors in restaurants before I was vaccinated. Now I'm vaccinated. Certainly I can eat outdoor in a restaurant now, wouldn't you think?
Yeah. 490-5858, let's head to the phones. John, you're on KMJ.
Yes, thank you. You know, the left has a very famous saying when it comes to abortion, my body, my choice. And I feel that's the same application to the vaccine, my body, my choice. If you want to have a vaccine, take 10 of them. If you want to wear a mask, wear 100 of them. I really don't care. But the bottom line is that one question that never is brought up is that in 1984 or 1986, I'm not sure which year, the pharmaceutical industry lobbied Congress to pass legislation for immunity against all lawsuits for vaccines. Now, my question is, why would you want that kind of legislation to protect you from a vaccine? You know, don't you think your product is safe? And when you listen to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. speak, and I listened to a 2.5-hour podcast about vaccines, and he's not anti-vaccine. He is for safe vaccines. And you look at how these people put these vaccines together. They've created a vaccine court with about $5 billion. But like he said, when you pull out the insert and read it before you get the vaccine, you'll see a multiple of possible issues that could arise from the vaccine. Well, he has been able to successfully win in court when an ailment arose from the vaccine that was not on that insert, that paper insert. So other than that, they pretty well, the industry, pharmaceutical industry, has pretty well covered their asses on this. The bottom line is that I think people should make up their own mind what they want. You know, if you want to take a vaccine, do it. God bless you. Okay? But to sit there and preach it's a holy thou that we need to take it to be safe, and that gentleman a couple of callers before gave a death certificate, a death statistic, which was minuscule, I mean, come on, folks. It's time to wake up. You know, no one brings up these questions. No one brings up the fact that how come the homeless weren't decimated? My God, you would think that their immune systems would be compromised to zero and that their sanitation habits would be pretty damn near to zero. Well, what happened? They didn't get decimated. So why aren't we asking these questions? Where are the peer review papers, the scientific peer review papers that show?
John, I just, you know, I can see we could go on a long time. I'm just saying there are some answers to this. And I haven't seen the stats on the homeless. I don't know why they weren't decimated, but I'm sure there are some stats somewhere. I don't know. Have you seen any?
I just remember that we had Matt Dildine in from the rescue mission, and he said that, you know, COVID wasn't really affecting the homeless communities.
Yeah. And when you talk about side effects and the pharmaceutical industry being protected, look at every, you know, we talk about this all the time. You look at these pharmaceutical ads on TV, mm-hmm. and half of the ad is disclaimers.
Disclaimers,
right?
Yeah.
And so you know, if the pharmaceutical industry is going to be open up to lawsuits, people do die. Bad things do happen to some people who take
yes,
these things. If
absolutely.
They were going to be sued to death, nobody would even try to make one. So yeah, these questions are asked, they are answered. You may not like the answer. But, you know, we talk about this this whole thing about public health, okay? The way they look at public health is how dangerous is COVID? How dangerous is the vaccine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the way they look at it, the vaccine, there is some danger, but it's a lot less dangerous than COVID. We had our ICU units, our hospitals were full. This was real. We all agreed we need to do something to do this. Now,
people with true emergencies were being turned away from hospitals.
Yeah. So it was real. Now, the way California dealt with it, the way Florida dealt with it, the way Texas dealt with it were different. And we've debated all these things for the last year. We don't like much what happened in California, the way they dealt with it. And now we know all that didn't really do any good, any more than leaving it somewhat open. So these things are still being debated. But, John, I'm with you. If you don't want to take it, don't take it. Nobody's saying you have to.
Nope, never
right?
said
At
that.
At this point.
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Talking about the coronavirus, the CDC's announcement yesterday about outside and masks. Seems like they're a little behind the times with most people.
You don't
right?
have to wear a mask on your walks around the block, John.
When you're alone.
Hey, when you're alone or with your wife or someone in your household.
Yeah. All right. We have somebody here, Christine, who has a question for you.
Oh, okay.
Ray, you're on KMJ.
Good morning. Sometimes it sounds like we're listening to Good Cop, Bad Cop, but we'll let that go. Christina, mm-hmm. a couple of callers back, you told a man that if you don't get the vaccine and you get the COVID, you could suffer long-term effects of different ailments and what have you. I would like you to tell me one case, one person who has suffered long-term effects from COVID. Since it's only been around for about a year, or maybe hasn't been around for hundreds of years. So, do you know?
My point was, is that you could suffer long-term effects. My family is currently dealing with some of the after effects of COVID. We had COVID in February of 2020, from what I can gather, before we knew what COVID was. And we are going through it right now, a year later. So I don't know what comes in another year. Just like we don't know what will come with the vaccine in a year. Something may or may not come. That's my point. You want to talk about 5 years down the road. I don't know what's going to come 5 years down the road for me or my children.
Well, what if,
my children, by the way, who can't be vaccinated.
The vaccine, you don't know 5 years from now. So,
right.
What about?
So you're talking about what ifs. And I'm being another example to you of what ifs. Does that make sense? If we're going to talk about what ifs, let me present cases of what if. It sounds, and I understand that there are people out there whose minds will not be changed. You do not want to hear any other opinion but your own. And I get that. My job is to present other situations for you. That's it. You can go take and do whatever you want with what I have to say. I'm just someone on the air that has a microphone. That's it.
I appreciate that. And we're just some people out here listening. And we're glad that you allow us to call in and give us our opinion. So thank you.
Yeah. You're very welcome.
Yeah.
My opinion is worth no more than anyone else's.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, we all look at this situation and try to figure out what to do, right? So, you know, most of the people I know, I can't think of any that don't think this, wanted the vaccine. We all looked at it. We all saw the pros and the cons. We all saw how our lives were going. And I think most of the people I know are older, over 60, you know, some over 70. And they looked at it and they thought, this makes sense. I'm willing to take whatever risk there is here. And here's my thing, Christina. You know, I've been going to doctors for a long time. They prescribe all kinds of stuff.
Right.
I've never sat there like people are sitting today doubting the pharmaceutical
or
industry.
Or looking it up to look at every single side effect.
You have a heart problem. You have some case kind of diabetes. They have all kinds of medicine for all kinds of stuff. You go to the doctor, they prescribe it, you go get it.
Right. On your typical medication, I don't think people sit there and look at case studies. There probably are medications out there that people do go read those things. Those are certain circumstances. Typically, on medications, we don't look up case studies on them. The president yesterday did present a statistic that I think is encouraging. 80% of all seniors, he says, have received a vaccine.
Seniors,
I think
wanted
that that's
it.
Seniors
because
need
seniors
it.
Are in an endangered group. They're the ones who
Correct.
Are getting this the worst. Older people with comorbidities. So, you know, I've always said, yeah, if you're younger and you're in perfect health, you may not worry about this stuff. Like, so I, you know, I'm not going to tell you what to do. The government hasn't said you have to get this. They're
No.
encouraging people to get it, but they haven't come out and made anybody get this vaccine. I don't think it'll go that far, do you?
I hope not.
You know, yesterday we were talking about...
I don't want to mandate people. I like to encourage people. I don't want to mandate them.
Well, you know, yesterday we were talking about 50% of the population looks like they've gotten the vaccine. Is that about right?
Yes.
Okay. And then we were wondering how many people have the antibodies because they've had coronavirus.
And that's a great question.
Well, I saw somebody answer this yesterday.
Wonderful.
They said they thought, this was not
okay.
a fact,
okay.
that about half of the remaining people had antibodies. Which means that we are at about 75%.
25% of the population has had COVID?
Yeah.
More than 25% of the U.S. population?
Yeah. Because they think if there's all kinds of people out there that don't even know they had it. You know, that they're walking around, they got it, don't even know they got it, or they thought they had a mild case of the flu. It was actually COVID. They never got tested. So they think there's all kinds of people out there that have already had it. So their conclusion was 75% of the population is good to go. We're already at herd immunity. If that's true, now they said that was an opinion. That was not a fact. Jim, you're on KMJ.
Hey there, guys.
Yeah.
So the very sick people and the elderly, they should. I mean, they got to weigh whether or not they're going to be dead anyway. So they should take the vaccine. Young people, it doesn't seem like it's a vaccine because you got to keep getting it over and over again. It's more of a booster. And the mask science isn't adequate for pro-mask because they keep changing when you're supposed to wear it, how you're supposed to wear it, how many you're supposed to wear. But they're not basing any of that on science. That's just based on these people's opinion to keep people in line. And what you were saying about the herd immunity, I heard somebody talking about that, but also add the fact that most of the weakest people that would have died from it are all, they all passed on already, unfortunately. So you have... You kind of weeded out over the last year and a half, almost 2 years, the weakest of the population through that. And some of it didn't help that the governors, some of the governors shifted people to hospital or to convalescent hospitals when they shouldn't have. And they also treat it differently than they did a year and a half ago when they didn't know much about it.
No, you know, you make a good point when you talk about, you know, the disease attacked the most vulnerable first. And so I think that's a good point. But it seems like it is now shifting to other people, right? It doesn't stop
right.
just when it gets those people. There are other people do get it. Hello, Jim or Steve. You're on KMJ.
Hey, John. I think I've had a soda with you at a tailgate or two.
Oh.
82% of the Clemson football team got it. They're 20 years old. 92% of LSU's team got 88. They're 20 years old. The best team who hasn't not got it is the Golden State Warriors and the Giants. Okay, but this is a disease, man. It doesn't care how old you are.
No, I know, but mostly those people don't die. Okay? Most of those people don't die, right?
No, but there's, you know, you look at all the workers who have died who are 30, 40, 25, 28 in hospitals.
Okay, but statistically, I'm talking, if you look at the demographics of the death of this disease, it's vastly over 60 years old. Doesn't mean nobody else dies ever, but it's statistically, it's very low. That's all we're saying.
But you get a 25-year-old football player, and he's got a 50-year-old mom and a 70-year-old grandpa. He's got him. He gave it to him.
Could be.
And there's a reason why how many games are canceled.
Right.
I mean, because they give it to everyone else.
No, I mean, that's what we've been talking about this whole time. As Christina, I say, you know, I don't want to be the one that gives it to grandma, right?
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I take care of my 91-year-old dad. He made me get it. And I go, of course I'll do it. If you told me to get it, I'll do it.
And that's why a lot of us felt the same way.
Yes.
You know, that maybe it's not for me, it's for someone else. If I'm in a multi-generational home, if I've got to go to the old folks home to see somebody, you know, I don't want to be dragging that in there with me.
And I think we're on the same team. It's called the human team.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But I get why some people are reluctant. It's just like some of our calls. Yeah. You know, we haven't had it.
You guys do such a great job.
We haven't had it long enough to know what long-term effects are.
No. That's true.
You can't know long-term effects in a short term.
No.
You know. Where are we here, Christy?
I don't really know because the lines lit up. So I've obviously, you know, riled up some people here.
Let's see if Terry's riled up.
Let's see, Terry, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Good morning. One thing you said kind of struck a chord with me. We can't compare a vaccine with a prescription. You're getting a prescription because you have a diagnosed illness. A vaccine we're giving to healthy people, so those are not comparable.
Okay, but let
and
me
that's
just,
my only point.
Okay, I'm going to let you in if you want to finish, but I'm just saying, I'm not trying to compare those two. I'm just saying we know there are dangers to a lot of these things, because if you watch any television, you see these ads, you see all the disclaimers.
Right.
And yet we still
Correct.
Take the medication because you have a problem you want to deal with. Now, I get your point. I don't
Correct.
Have this problem yet. I'm trying to prevent it. But why is there so much doubt about this one and people don't have doubts about other pharmaceuticals?
I think it would go back to the origin. I think there's a lot of questions about the validity of the gravity of the situation. I don't think that everybody believes that it is severe as it is. So, of course, they're going to question the remedy for it.
Yeah, well, like I say, I understand people's reluctance, their hesitancy, which is the word. I get that. But I just think, you know, if we focused on any medication, Chris, you take any medication for all the ailments that are out there, and if we put this much focus on that medication and watched everything that happened with
yes.
it, everybody be afraid to take that. You know, we kind of don't want to know. When the doctor says, hey, we've got a problem with your kidney. Here's what you need to do. We do it. You know, we don't go out there and, you know, because the alternative is not good.
This is the Broski and Musan podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Ben, you're on KMJ.
Yes. So I want to address a caller that you had a little while ago that you were discussing long-term effects mm-hmm. of people who had COVID. And I had COVID in December. I don't know how I got it because I always wore a mask, but I was tired for a couple of days and, you know, then it was over. But I go to my cardiologist, my annual checkup, and he said, you had COVID. He said, I have to do some tests on you. And he said that I have an arrhythmia now, that the COVID has caused an arrhythmia in my heart, and that I had a 60% chance of seizure. And so he put me on some medication. He said, with this medication, it goes down to 5%. He said, I was real scared for you. And he said, this can last, it might take 5 years before it corrects itself. So, you know, so then I've done a little research, and there are people who have long-term effects. You don't know how long in the future it's going to affect you, but there, you know. So what I'm trying to say is, yeah, people have been affected by this,
yeah.
Even though they're healthy. You know, I mean, they come out and they feel okay. There's still some medical problems that go along with that.
Well, there's a lot of mopping up we have to do.
Yeah, I think we're going to learn a lot in the coming months and the coming years here
yeah.
about a lot of things.
Yeah, we got to kind of take a look back when we get through this, and I'm sure there'll be all kinds of research on this, more than any of us. You know, there's been so much information, Christina. I feel like every day I get up, there's like a fire hose of information coming at me. And you just every day. And things change, and all the
yes.
rules change, and information
yes.
changes.
It's frustrating.
Billy, you're on KMJ.
Good morning. Hey, I don't agree with one of your previous callers. I'm going to tie that in with the point I'm going to try to make to you and your listeners today. People do take prescription medications, and it's for the same reason that you take a vaccine. And what I'll use is birth control. Women go get on birth control to prevent becoming pregnant. And that's no different than you going and getting a vaccine for COVID to prevent you going in the hospital from the COVID virus. Now, my point is very simple. People are not stupid. We hear the marketing for, like when my daughter was, I had to make the choice, put her on birth control or not. I was hearing the marketing on the birth control. I talked to her doctor about it. But then years later, you hear marketing come out from an attorney's office where a certain amount of women getting put on this specific prescription ends up with ovarian cancer. So they're doing a nationwide sweep. They're trying to get a class action suit against them. So I can see where people are, you know, they hear this marketing. They know even if you get on opioids, you're at risk of developing an addiction to the opioid. Everybody knows that this takes time. Sometimes it's a year, sometimes it's 2 years. So I can see where they're very hesitant to go out and just get jabbed in the arm with the COVID virus vaccine because they don't have any recourse right now. The government gave everybody a pass. The company's got a pass. You can't sue them. And they want to know. You know, as a woman, you want to know if the medicine you're taking, that your husband's taking, that your children are taking, is not going to harm them. And there's no way for them to tell right now. So I can see where a lot of people are going to be hesitant. They're going to be scared. And it's because of these marketing campaigns that people have heard for years upon years. It puts you in the mindset of saying, I need to be cautious. I need to not listen to this company trying to get this into my body. I need to wait and see what happens with other people.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I do. Uh-huh. Right. But I think, you know, we all were in whatever position we were in. Like if you're looking at these stats mm-hmm. about who gets it and who it is the most problem for, and it's like people over 60, 70, 80, and you fall into one of those groups and you see those percentages and you say, this is my demographic, you have a different conclusion than somebody who's younger and healthier.
Yes.
And all that makes sense to me. But you know, my point about the pharmaceuticals is that, you know, people go to the doctor all the time because they have a problem. And when the doctor prescribes something, you don't sit there and pick it apart and say, well, this can happen, this can happen, this can happen. I don't think I'll take it, because you've also got on the other side, this can happen. It's already happening.
The right? only thing you're doing is hopping on like GoodRx to see how much it's going to cost you exactly. and where you need to go, right? That's yeah. what you're doing.
Yeah.